This episode of Behind the Video is brought to you by the Independent Media Network. The Independent Media Network helps journalists and content creators create their own jobs by building sustainable online businesses. If you're an unemployed or underemployed journalist or content creator, visit IMNCT.com for more information. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Behind the Video. This is episode 56. Tim and I took a week off for the July 4th holiday, but we're back, and Tim is here. Hey, Tim.
Hey, did you do anything fun for 4th of July? What did you do?
Had the baby and held her.
Yeah, but you already had the baby. What did you do with the baby? Did you take the baby to shoot off fireworks? You give her some sparklers to hold? What did you do?
Yeah, we didn't give her the sparklers yet because we didn't want to get the baby taken away from us. But we brought her down to the beach and we watched some fireworks with her. And she it was good. The loud noises didn't frighten her. So that was a good thing. So we might be able to do more.
Her, right?
Exactly. Get her conditioned, you know. And so she's
just chain her up at the gun range.
Exactly. That's next weekend. We're going to give that one a shot. So, but hey, we have a guest this week, don't we?
Returning guest.
Oh. He actually came back, and that is Dane Golden. Hey, Dane.
Hey, guys.
And I like to say, hey, Dane, because that's your domain, right?
That's right. Hey.com.
That is an excellent domain. So Dane is a consultant. He does YouTube and web TV audience consulting and development. So he's always working on something, and he's always got some great insights. So we're glad to have him back. And where are you out of, Daniel? San Francisco? Is that where you are?
Today I'm in San Francisco.
How's the weather?
It's a warm, balmy 55 degrees and cloudy.
That's what they say. It's like if you want the best autumn in the world, you go to San Francisco in the summer, right?
That's right.
It's great time of year to be there. So, well, we've got quite a bit to talk about today. We're going to start, though, with these things. Here they are, the Google Glass. For whatever reason,
I'm holding up Google
yes,
Glass for all of our
audio listeners. So we actually have them. So I'm speaking from direct experience with them, and thankfully they give you a 30-day return, no questions asked, which I will be taking them up on. And the funny thing is, so here's the deal. So you can't buy them publicly. You have to get selected by Google. So they handpick 8,000 people, or maybe they algorithmically pick 8,000 people who submitted a thing on the Google Plus service saying what they would do if they had it. And then they give you the opportunity to go to a far-off city closest to you to pick them up in person for $1,500. So that's kind of the scenario. So hopped on a train to New York City. I felt it was a professional obligation, right?
So what did you tell them you were going to do?
Well, I think I had, this is before my daughter was born, so I said, oh, I was going to, use them to video my daughter's, not her birth, but her moments. So, and I will say they're good for that. They're very lightweight. So when you do put them on, you're noticed out in public with them, obviously, because you've now put this layer up between you and the rest of the world. But they are very lightweight, and they're nice to shoot with because you get whatever the camera is shooting, you will see in your little screen up here. So, from that perspective, it's pretty useful. And people are complaining about the lack of a record light, but when the screen is on, as you can see, I have a little light on, which is the screen projecting into my eyes there. So, so it's cool as a video recording device. However, it just doesn't feel like it needs to cost so much. And I guess, of course, they'll bring the price down over time, but. But beyond that, I just don't feel comfortable wearing them in public. I mean, I feel like...
Can you shoot a web series with them?
You could. You certainly could. And, I would recommend, syncing audio to it, so maybe having a separate audio track that you sync up later.
Yeah. Where does the video go?
The video goes into the device. So it has about... I think it's got 16 gigs of onboard memory inside the device. And what you can do is it'll do two things. One is it will back up, if you set it to do this, it will back up everything it shoots, video and photos, shoots them right into Google Plus privately, and then you can share them.
Is there a removable storage there? Or
no.
How much space you got?
I got 12 gigs left right now. So it comes with about 12 or 14 gigs overall. It's got a USB port on here, which it charges from, but you can also plug it into Final Cut. I did find that when you go plug it into Final Cut, it doesn't give you any video preview. So you have to, the files work fine. It just doesn't shoot preview data over. So You know, so that's kind of a bummer. But the field of view on the camera is nice, and it. I actually did some of my product reviews on my channel with it this weekend. So I did a my pick of the week. I'll talk about that in a little bit. And I got to drive a Tesla. I've had a Tesla in my garage all week, and I have to give it back. Yeah, it's not mine. It's my dad's. But I got to take it for the weekend because he was away. So I did
The
Model S with the high performance engine in it. It's insane. It's nice. We could have a whole show about that because that car is just I've not been this infatuated with a car since high school. So it's really
good. They look really nice.
Yeah, it drives like it's incredible. It's got this
like it drives like a really fast golf cart.
It is the fastest car you'll ever be in. I mean, I'm talking anything you've ever been in that's fast. This is as fast or faster. So it's really something. I did like a little first-person video of that. You can do Hangouts with it, so you can stream live from them. The problem, of course, is that it doesn't have its own LTE modem. So if you're out somewhere, it's got to pair up with a phone via Bluetooth, and that phone then shoots your stuff out to the web. So you're killing batteries on this and on your phone. It does have Wi-Fi built in, so if you're home, it works. And you know, the Hangout thing works. I mean, it's okay, but it's a smartphone that you wear on your head. I mean, that's honestly what I feel like.
Do you think like they'll make them for babies, and then babies will like watch educational videos and we'll learn if babies can really talk earlier because they'll be using
these things. Yeah. There was a story. There was a Star Trek episode when they found the Borg nursery. And the babies all had like Borg implants attached to them, and they were becoming cybernetic organisms. I think that's what they would look like. So I mean, honestly, the big killer app for this thing is that you can record videos from your head. But there are cheaper ways to do that, and there is it prompted me to look for other stuff because I did kind of like. From a product review standpoint, the things that I do on YouTube, I did like the fact that I could get my hands free and show how something works in a really compelling way. There is I don't know if Dane's ever experienced these. There's a company called Pivot Head. Have you ever heard of these?
No, I have not.
So they sell sunglasses, and they're sunglasses, so they're not as, you know, there's lenses in front of whoever you're looking at, but they put a camera right in the middle of your temple, and it's a 1080p camera. This is 720p, so this Pivot Head shoots at 1080 at 30 frames per second. You can buy five of those for what one of these costs. Wow. Just to put it in perspective. So Pivot Head.
It's like a GoPro sunglasses is what it is.
Exactly. It's GoPro sunglasses, and they look, you know, I mean, they actually look less geeky than these do. And that's like the last point I want to make on them is that, you know, it almost feels, and I have nothing against introverts because I can be introverted myself, but I feel like it was designed by introverts for introverts, in that you're putting up this barrier between you and the world that you can kind of zone out and just look at the screen. And, you know, when I went to pick them up, it was all of 5 minutes, and I said, there's just no way I'm going to use these things because the screen is so high. It doesn't look like it's that high, but you're looking, this is how I'm looking at the screen right now. So if you can look at my eyes, and for our audio listeners, just know I'm looking up.
And is that uncomfortable for you?
Yeah, it is.
Just socially, but physically.
It was at first. It's not as uncomfortable as it looks, but I know people who, I went on the Google Glass community. There's like a little secret community for us. And I said, hey, so is anyone else having buyer's remorse? And this one guy's like, yeah, I did. You know, it's getting eye strain and it was really starting to give me headaches, but I muscled through it. And he's like, you know, so I think the people that are buying these things are really, you know, they love Google. They love the services. And there's some neat ideas from this, but I think they're better implemented on a watch or a smartphone.
They did partner with Warby Parker. So Warby Parker, they made these glasses.
Those are nice. Yeah,
they're gonna make some new glasses for Google Glass.
And I think if there was less mechanical stuff on it, you know, you look at all this plastic and stuff. I mean, it really stands out. They do give you lenses that you can snap in, so there is a sunglass lens attachment. So when you're out in public, you don't look as totally geeky as you would otherwise. But I don't know. Maybe it's a West Coast thing, but out here in Connecticut, I was getting a lot of weird looks from people. What the hell are you walking around with those things for? So in any event, I'm going to be sending them back for my refund. But I think there's some promising stuff there.
Dean, in San Francisco, doesn't like it's like walking around with a Starbucks coffee cup. Everyone has one, right?
I first saw them, of course, at just a San Francisco party. I think it was around New Year's. And that's when I first saw it in the wild. And, of course, the other thing about San Francisco, and I don't know, and it's a lot similar in L.A. too, but I don't know how it is in Connecticut. Any Starbucks you walk into, 99.5% apple. Is that, yeah. Would you agree with that in Connecticut?
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly up there. There's a lot of Apple people, although I see a little bit more on the Windows side, but mostly iPads more than notebooks. People are reading.
Oh, really? You know?
Yeah, a lot of iPads and that kind of thing. So
here, people are working.
They're working.
Startup per latte.
Exactly. That's it. There's a lot more coding going on than
laptop hobos.
Exactly. And in fact, you think about it, like out here, we're more ad tech. And you guys out there are more coding and software, so it's there's a little bit more content consumption out here, perhaps. But you know, it's funny. One, you know, with the glass thing, I picked them up at Chelsea Market in New York City. Mm-hmm. So there's
home of the Food Network.
Yes, in fact, I had some great farmers market lunch over there. But the within like probably a 12 block radius of that epicenter. There was people all over the place walking around with these things, and as I'm walking out, Google has offices inside the Chelsea Market, so you go up to like the 8th floor to pick up your glass, but they have offices on a few other floors, and every Google employee is walking around with them. And this young lady gets in the elevator with us, and I said, "So you don't take those things off, huh?" She goes, "No, they kind of want to." So I think
they
want
to see what we are looking at.
Yes.
Sometimes.
They want to track their location or whatever. So then she said, "So you're not wearing yours out?" I said, "Nah, I'm not going to draw that much attention to myself." So in any event, it's a good concept. Works better on a watch, and we'll see where it goes. But I would love to sell them on eBay, but they restrict you from doing that. So I will just get my money back. So web series of the week, Tim, what do we got?
Well, there is a new web series that My Damn Channel has, and that web series is called Romantic Encounters, and it's comedy and it's episodic. You should check it out. It's about a girl and her dating problems, and it's just a fun little series. Now, the one thing that I've noticed about it is I've seen very little promotion for it, and I've seen very little. They have made some promos, but I haven't seen them out in the wild. I haven't come across it. The way that I did discover it is I'm subscribed to My Damn Channel's email list. So that's how I came across it. And it's a fun little series, and it's interesting how it's done. There are some recognizable celebrities that show up in it. So I think it's worth checking out, and you can go to My Damn Channel to find it.
We will look at that. And Dane, have you checked out any other My Damn Channel stuff?
Well, I'm a big fan of Mark Malkoff. Do you guys know Mark Malkoff?
Yeah, the Mark Malkoff Challenge. He's the guy that he went to every Starbucks on Manhattan in one day. He got people to carry him from one end of Manhattan to another end of Manhattan. And Mark's great. What Mark's really, really good at, in addition to doing these wacky stunts where, like, he lives in an IKEA for a month or lives on a plane for
Oh, he's the guy that
weeks.
Did the IKEA?
In addition to that, what Mark does, it's really cool. We've tried to get him on the show, but he's at church right now. He goes to church at this time. But what he's really, really good at is getting press. He's been on the Today Show. He's been on all these TV shows, and they just love his stunts.
And it seems like he gets the permission of those who he is doing the stunts with, I would assume, right?
Well, sometimes he's getting paid.
Not always.
Not always, okay.
Not always, but sometimes he gets paid. Other times, like, he does stuff where, you know how Apple will let you pretty much shoot anything or do anything in an Apple store? He took a goat into an Apple store. A goat. A real, live goat.
There's got to be a rule against that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, he does another series called Celebrity Sleepovers. Have you seen that one, Dane?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where
he called up different people in Hollywood. He said, "I'm going to LA. I'm just going to find different celebrities that I can sleep over with." And some of them were, you know, overnight sleepovers. And some were like daytimes, like naps. Like he took a nap with Kato Kaelin. And he went over to Rob Corddry's house, and Rob Corddry yelled at him. He goes, "You want to wake up with my kids at 4 a.m.? It was great.
That's great. So I'll have to check this guy out a little bit more. So I had heard about the IKEA thing. He spent like a month in IKEA, right? Just kind of living in a store window. Yeah, that's really...
It was a week in IKEA and a month on the plane.
There you go. That's what it was. And he recently did, I think, a week of being handcuffed to his wife.
Oh, my gosh.
Which...
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I don't know if it's out yet, but yeah.
My wife would kill me. I would be... it would not work. Wow, that's cool. So that's
Before we leave on Mark, the best part of the Apple was not the bringing in the goat, but when he dressed up like Darth Vader and wanted his iPhone fixed, and he said, "Oh my iPhone!" It was sort of like Chad Vader, if you ever seen that.
Yeah, right.
Except it was his iPhone, and they said, and the guy said, "Well, what's your email, Darth?" And he had an email like Darth Vader Hotmail or whatever. It was great.
Hotmail. Does he have a Bluetooth radio in his helmet?
Probably.
That's because this doesn't work, you know, holding that thing. Maybe that's the problem. So
what
speaking
is
of
thy bidding, my master.
Yes, what is thy bidding? That's right. The Siri will call him my master. you can have her call you whatever you want. Little pro tip for you. YouTube this week. So we started Dane. We used to do like the top five of the week, but that thing on YouTube has not been working too well. So what we've been doing is looking at TubeFilter and their top channels of the week, and they evaluate it based on how many views overall that channel got. So it's been interesting.
Through a service, right? This is what's it called? I'm blanking on it. Right.
It's the TubeFilter top. No, this is the TubeFilter top 50. I'm not sure where they're getting.
They are getting it from
OpenSlate. OpenSlate.
Yeah.
OpenSlate. So what's
Matt Ballack's project? Matt Ballack. With a New York company.
Oh, cool! Yeah. And so it provides analytics on large channels. Is that their beef?
Yeah. Cool. So you can subscribe to it and see what's going on. So it's a really valuable service for checking out the competition, and also if you're an advertiser, if you want to figure out what series are worth advertising in your particular vertical.
So, and it's been interesting because these numbers have shifted quite a bit. You know, when I first started looking at it, there was some things that just didn't move too much, but now there seems to be some movement. So, like there was this Turkish music channel that was getting a lot of traffic, and that wasn't even on there, at least the top 10 this week. But number five was the Ellen Show, and I've been seeing a lot of this. Like Jimmy Kimmel does this too. In fact, I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel at night. I just watch him on YouTube because they take clips out of the show. So the Ellen Show has been doing that.
She does like a lot of hidden video type things where she'll hide a camera in a dressing room on a celebrity.
Oh, really? So you got to be careful if you go on her show. You might have a candid camera moment. Those cameras are getting tinier and tinier. Taylor Swift is number four. That's her Vevo channel. That's no surprise. Rihanna, number three, also a Vevo channel. Number two, and I wanted to get Dane's insight on this, because undoubtedly there was always a video game person in this. And number two is Sky Does Minecraft. And wow, video game gamers are huge, huge on YouTube. And I talk about this all the time, but I think it's worth exploring. So Dane, what's the deal? Why is video gaming so popular? Is it just the demographic that YouTube attracts?
That's right. And I'm interested, you know, you've been reviewing game consoles, and I'm interested in what types of demo you get, and I bet you they're very similar.
It is.
Tell me in a second, but I just wanted to, I found out a term, and this was a new term to me today. I'm probably way behind the curve, but these guys are Let's Players.
Right.
Have you ever heard this term before, guys?
No.
You know, I hadn't heard about it until Nintendo started going after them. But so, yeah, it's a new term. Elpers, they call themselves, right?
Yeah, so that's what PewDiePie is. This was what Sky Does Minecraft is. And I think it's, you know, a lot of the 13 to 15-year-olds, male, skewing male.
That might be correct. And here's what's interesting. So as you know, Dane, on my channel, I just review all sorts of stuff. And I've always been more my part-time job from it has come from from search rather than subscribers for the most part. So my channel right now, the last 30 days, 90% male. And just as a frame of reference.
What age?
You know, it's funny. You would think it was younger, but it's not. The top ages are 35 to 54. That's over half.
What?
Yeah, and what I found was, So here's, so I did this review of the Ouya game console, which was a Kickstarter thing. So I had one before a lot of these kids might be able to get their hands on one. So I get the most interaction, the most subscribers, and the most viewership from the Ouya reviews. I did three different videos on kind of the ins and outs of it. I did rather detailed stuff. I mean, these were like 10 to 20 minutes a piece, so they're not short. Viewership was great. Everything's great. What I found is that 2/3 of my YouTube traffic is all the other stuff that I've been doing over the last year and a half. And I think what's happening is that a bulk of my audience is searching for, is just searching for some product they're thinking of buying, and my video is popping up. What I'm most interested in, I don't know if I can get my demographics on my subscribers, because I have a feeling my subscriber base will probably be closer to the age bracket that you're mentioning, because that seems to be where the subscription people come from.
I have a theory. I have a theory that some of your users that skew older, a portion, are actually younger than 13.
Oh, and they're using their parents' account to access it?
Yes, you have to be 13 and over to
That's a really good point.
Yeah, so it's the, you know, well, if you have a 13-year-old, well, you know, maybe you're in that, you know, 45 to 54
there you go.
Male age. Sign in with dad's account, but you're 11 or 12.
Right,
and watching
that would do it.
Lon's account.
That could be. And also, they could just be not signed in at all, and not we're not getting any demographic data from that, I guess. Well, maybe
yeah,
it's – well, you know what? It could be guessing based on other cookies on the computer or something like that. So – it's really fascinating just how much traffic the video game stuff is getting, and from an engagement standpoint, for my channel, like when I do a video game thing, I do get a lot more engagement and more subscribers. I'm trying to get about 300 away now from getting to the 1,000 mark, so I can get my streaming capability from YouTube Live.
I'd be happy to talk to you about that offline, and I may have some tips for you.
Cool. No, I'd love to talk to you. We'll see what.
Do you think you'd want to invest $750 million into it?
No more than $500 million.
Well, that's a good deal because considering I'm only making $200 a month, that's a it's an investment that will pay off over time. So we'll see where it goes. Number one on our list this week was movie clip trailers, and these are just movie trailers that go up. And I think with the summer movie season picking up steam, this is certainly no surprise that you'd see a lot of activity on that. And in some news related to our subscription discussion, did you notice that YouTube made their subscribe button bright red now?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big story. TubeFilter covered it. But I wonder, are they, and we don't, none of us work for YouTube, and I know we know people that work at YouTube, but I just wonder if there's concern that the subscriber base really isn't skewing towards older audiences, right? I mean, do older people subscribe, Dane? Is that something
YouTube
you're saying?
YouTube is all about youth.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Right. And the older folks are watching maybe embedded on some other website and not really...
Yeah,
YouTube, right?
They're watching TV.
Yeah, so
that's
not,
what older people do.
They're not there yet. So, yeah. Fascinating stuff.
I think that your the folks that are going to subscribe tend to skew younger. It's really hard to get folks above 35 to subscribe. However, a good way of building your YouTube audience for those folks is embedding on Facebook, going to Twitter, and there's any number of other social media that you can use to grow your YouTube audience, but it's not from the subscribers.
Right, just from other channels where older people might be. Either that or you get yourself on Good Morning America in the morning with your cat riding a skateboard or something, and you're making money. Speaking of making money, Tim, Gorilla, you tweeted this out earlier this week. So explain this, $20 to $40 CPMs, that's pretty good. How do we get in on this?
Fullscreen's a company started by George Stompopoulos, who was head of YouTube partners at YouTube. He left to start this multi-channel network. And at this multi-channel network, he's also doing, he's building a marketplace, similar from what I understand, similar to PlaceFind. You guys remember PlaceFind? Where brands and content creators can connect. And so he's building that marketplace where a brand can come in, they can find the different channels or creators that appeal to that brand, and then have them do a video for that brand. And I think it's a really smart, you know, it's like kind of like a dating site. I'm not a member there, so I haven't joined in. But it's definitely something that you should check out. I think Fullscreen is doing a great job in the marketplace. They seem to be very well respected and very, very smart.
Does this work like another YouTube channel does where you're...
Well, they're part of YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So it's about leveraging your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And connecting you to folks, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of presence Gorilla has at VidCon. Although VidCon's mostly a fan based event, there is an industry day, so it'll be interesting to see if Gorilla has any presence during the industry day. And I look forward to hearing more about it, and hopefully we'll get somebody on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, let's learn more about it because it seems like it's a way beyond just your AdSense of getting some cash into your pocket, right? Is that the way it works? So pretty cool. And then one more related story. Speaking of making money or trying to, Hulu. The it's so funny to watch like the TV networks trying to make Hulu work. So they were going to auction it, and then they've canceled the auction, and now NBC Universal and Disney will continue to own the site, and they're going to put another $750 million into it. And the funny thing is, for Hulu to succeed, they almost have to replace the cable companies, right? I mean, it's just fun to watch them try to figure out what to do with this thing that really can't work in the old business model, right?
Here's the interesting scoop behind this story, what I've been hearing and it's been reported in some of the trade publications as well, is that the reason Rupert Murdoch and Bob Iger pulled it off the market was because the offers coming in were so good that they were like, hey, wait a second. If people are offering us this much money for this thing, maybe we should reevaluate it. Maybe we should keep it. And so that's what the rumor is that's out there, is the reason that they pulled it off the market was the offers were better than they thought. And so they wanted to reexamine it as a business.
And Dane, is it possible that they're also holding onto it so that they don't get upended with a big innovator that would buy it and make it into something that could threaten traditional business models?
Well,
that's a loaded question.
here they have, there's a couple of problems for these guys and a couple of advantages. The disadvantage is only one, and that is they're connected to their competitors. The advantages are that they have this huge technology and subscriber buildup, and they're starting to understand what this is all about, and they have a direct distribution network. Now, if you guys remember, and I'll bet you Tim remembers this one from class at school, which was I looked this up today, the 1948 Paramount case, where they broke up TV to, rather movie theaters. There were distribution, production, and exhibition. Yeah. And they said, well, you can do two out of three because you can't monopolize the production, the distribution, and the exhibition. But that's, in fact, what these guys are doing with Hulu, because they own a piece of each. And they're saying, well, why should we give away our exhibition, essentially, to DirecTV when we have it direct here? We're just not paying attention to it. I think that the main problem with each of these deals is that the ones who are winning in this space and will continue to win, and I've just started to think about it in this way, are the ones who think of video as a big data business as opposed to a content business.
I know AOL is doing that. That is really AOL's strategy, is that it's, or at least the AOL video folks, is that it's data. And whatever data people are consuming, that's the data we're going to give them. And I'm also hearing that AOL is on a buying spree, and they are looking to buy as much video inventory as they possibly can because they have a lot of advertisers that want to advertise.
It's always good to have that problem, right?
Yep.
That is a good thing to have. So, hey, movies are out, by the way. Did you know that? It's now turning into one of the hottest movie-going summers ever, maybe because it's so freaking hot outside. They're doing pretty well. So number five this weekend, according to Nikki Fink at Hollywood, Deadline Hollywood, So the Lone Ranger came in at number 5 with $10.4 million, 70.5 overall.
It's a beautiful movie.
Is it?
It's very beautiful. It's so,
well, there you go. So check it out. That is Lone Ranger. Number 4, The Heat. $13.4 million, $111 million overall for The Heat. Have you seen that one, Tim?
Nope.
So that is...
That's the buddy picture with the woman from Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay.
And then Sandra Bullock.
Got it. I think I did see that. So yeah, the advertisements for it.
Yep.
So that is cool. So that is coming in at number 4. Number 3 is Pacific Rim, and we kept hearing about how like the whole industry is depending on the Pacific Rim to succeed here. Otherwise, everything's going to fall to heck in a handbasket. So what's the deal with Pacific Rim? Dane, have you seen Pacific Rim? What is this a movie about?
This is one of those end of the world ones. I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, you know what? End of the world movies always do well in the summer. So I'm looking. The one I really love was Independence Day. That was one of my favorite summer blockbusters.
I have to say that if you're a Lone Ranger in the heat and you live in the Pacific Rim, you should grow up and become despicable.
And that rounds out the last of our list of Grown Ups 2 and Despicable Me. And Tim, there is a sequel for Independence Day coming up too, right?
Yeah, there's also a really, really good trailer that somebody cut together explaining Independence Day. I'll have to see if I can find it and share it online. Or maybe
cool.
I already did. It's hilarious. They do a parody of everything that happens in Independence Day. It's so funny.
Oh, that is something. So that is really neat. So
Despicable Me, take the kids. It's really good. Go see it. Great, great movie.
$227.5 million worldwide too. So it is doing quite well.
Way.
That is the number one movie. Makes a lot of sense. Summer movie, kids out of school. It all comes together. So Hollywood intern lawsuit panic. That's the question The Wrap asks, is who's really paying the price? And The Wrap's article mentions that there are some interns concerned now that maybe this lawsuit over the internship flap at the ballet movie there, Black Swan. These kids were working for free. They wanted some money. They took them to court and apparently got a judgment in their favor. So, Dane, internships, we have a little list here of things. We've been meaning to talk about this for a while. So what do you recommend to your clients when they have interns that are not being paid? Or don't you?
You know, when I've – I don't know if I'm in sync here because I had a little froze here. But when I talk about interns, I generally feel you should always pay interns because – that means you're getting the most out of them. Why you have an intern if you're not paying them? It's not like it costs that much to pay somebody $8 an hour.
It's very true because minimum wage is what, like not even $8 an hour or thereabouts. It's close. And a couple of things just to note on internships. So the government, U.S. government, and this might be different in your home country, so go call your local labor office. But basically, and we just lost Dane, but he'll be back. The internship, even though it includes the actual operations of the facilities of the employer, is similar to training. So you can't have like an intern doing their own job. They can't just be, you know, doing only something the intern does. The experience has to be for the benefit of the intern. The intern does not displace regular employees, but works under close supervision of staff. The employer, this is, by the way, these are the measurements that if you were ever sued that they would look at, or if the Labor Department came after you. The employer that provides the training derives no immediate advantage from the activities of the intern. So if the intern's sole role is to collect coffee for people, that will be a problem if there's no staff member who also does that. And in fact, on occasion, your operations need to be impeded by that intern's activities. The intern is not necessarily entitled to a job at the conclusion of the internship. And this was a big factor in that Black Swan case, in that a lot of times these interns are told, hey, work for us for free, and after this is over with, we'll make sure you get a job with us. And finally, the last set of criteria here is that the employer and the intern understand that the intern is not entitled to wages for the time spent in the internship. That's provided all those other factors are met. And apparently in the Black Swan case, they were doing stuff. Tim, you know, in web series, it's, you know, just about everyone's an intern, right? I mean, if no one's getting paid, then it's not a big deal, right?
Here's where I differ on Dane's opinion just a little bit. I believe, you know, if somebody's doing menial labor where there's no training involved and they're just helping out and they're doing something where they're not gaining, absolutely, you should pay them. But if you're giving a student who needs school credit, needs an internship, you're giving them an opportunity to do something that they would never have the chance to do. Let's say direct. Let's say do camera. Let's say write. If you're giving them an opportunity to do something, and again, it's not something that benefits the business directly on a, you know, a daily basis, whatever. It doesn't directly impact the business right away. It's not something that you absolutely need. Then I think there's huge benefit to it because the intern is getting experience working on something that they would never have the opportunity to do. And so it's not something that you could actually pay them for, because if you were having an intern direct something and there was a client involved, that's a dangerous situation. That's a great way to lose the client. But if they're, say, directing something that is piloting an event or working on something that might happen in the future, but they're getting experience doing it, I think that's very, there's a win-win situation there to where both sides are getting something out of it, and it doesn't necessarily merit pay because it's experimental. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. No, it does. And I think that's the concern that some of these interns have, that, you know, maybe the black swan people were doing it wrong. Maybe they were going a little above and beyond, but there are some real benefits to internships. And also, you know, proper supervision is important, because I'm sure, Dane, you saw your local news channel there report that horrible prank that a couple interns pulled on the station where they read off some pretty racist names in regards to that plane pilot there. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, it was my understanding that in that case, a intern confirmed the names.
Right, exactly.
It was an intern at the NTSB who confirmed the names, but somebody else did the prank where they basically did racial slurs, and, you know, We Fly Low was one of the pilots' names that they gave, and then when the news station was checking the names of the pilots, an intern at the NTSB confirmed that those indeed were the correct names without knowing.
So proper supervision is always important.
I just want to point out there's a great podcast called The Business on KCRW, and they interviewed the guy who's suing about the internship on that.
Oh,
this week.
And what was his take?
Love that podcast.
His take was these are fundamental jobs. These are essential jobs. If Hollywood didn't need these jobs, they wouldn't have them. But I'm really thinking of it because I listened to another podcast that I told you guys about right after, which was the Nerdist Writers Panel, which your friend Bernie was on.
Bernie Sue.
And he was talking – Bernie Sue! And he was talking about how he did pay everyone. He paid them very little, but he paid them. And he made a point about that. These people did not work for free, and with a lot of YouTube stuff, everyone works for free. So I think it's an interesting perspective. Hollywood should pay people, and YouTube should pay people.
Hey, I'm getting paid. Not a heck of a lot, but it's something. So,
yeah, well, you look at the whole economy of YouTube, there's a lot of voluntary labor that's going to build
there
YouTube,
sure
right?
There sure is. It sure is. You never know if you're going to get paid or not. You can put in a lot of labor on something and see no views at all. So.
How much am I getting paid for being on this podcast?
Exactly.
We'll give you we'll buy you a coffee at Starbucks, but we can only afford the coffee, so no lattes. You know, so just keep the bill
low. Right.
There, well, that's the deal. Next time I'm in San Francisco, you're on. So we have a great. Am I still on? My video just cut out. I just want to make sure I'm still on here, guys.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Oh, good. Yeah, good. Here I am. All right, cool. I'll make an edit point here just for that to happen. One last item for this week. We always do an app of the week, Dane, and we won't put you on the spot, but if you've got one, pipe in later. So, Tim, you know, aerial photography is the next component of personal video production, and I've had one of these AR drones. It's actually behind me there. For quite a while, and they've just come out with a autonomous flight module for it. And it's called the Flight Recorder, and it's this little orange box, and you stick it in your AR drone, you load up your app, you point to where you want it to go on a map, and it will fly there and record video the whole way, which is really, really cool. The quality out of the drone is a little shaky. It has a lot of jelly vision to it, so you'll need to do some correction in post with it, but if you're looking for a real cheap way to get an aerial shot of something, this is it. It can go up to 100 meters in height, whatever that is in feet.
What's the total cost out the door? Because, like, is it 300?
Yeah, it's 300 for the drone and then, like, another 125 for the thing. So Dane's got...
That's a little bit cheap. Yeah, the GoPro...
I meant it was 300 feet.
Yeah, 300 feet or 100 meters. 328.084.
Because there is a drone that you can attach a GoPro camera to, and then GoPro has an app that you can control the camera with. And that, I think that, you know, GoPro camera is like $400, and then the drone is $600. So that gives you really high quality video that you can shoot and control with the GoPro app. You can't control the plane with the GoPro app, but you can control the camera. So you might need two people to control that. And I heard, speaking of drones, I heard on Marketing Over Coffee, Christopher F. Penn and John Wall were talking about how there may be soon drone deliveries right to your house. So imagine ordering a pizza and having a drone deliver it to your house. Yeah. Pretty funny, huh?
Well, considering my drone hit the side of my house and a tree this weekend, I don't think you want me delivering your pizzas. But
yeah, but I've had a Domino's pizza guy do that too. So.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah.
Keep your daughter inside when you're sending around that thing with those blades.
Yeah, definitely. She stays far away from it, believe me. So, well, that brings us to the end of our show. I'm going to go fly my drone around a little bit more, I guess. But Dane, where can people find you and what you're up to?
Just Google, hey, I come up first, or at Dane Golden on Twitter. I did have an app, though, which was Vedora.
Oh, talk to us about Vedora.
I worked with, it's a brand new app, and it combines the best of Hulu Plus, Netflix, AOL, anything, YouTube, any, it's like Roku for the iPad. So I can recommend downloading that. It's very interesting, and it caters your view per your preferences.
So if I'm looking for something that I don't know what it's streaming on, so I'm an Amazon and a Netflix subscriber, right? So I could say, all right, I want to watch whatever, and where is it? It does that?
That's right. So if you don't know that SpongeBob moved from Netflix to Amazon Prime, it'll tell you. Or cool. You don't know that, you know, Dora the Explorer is on, you know, this channel or that now, and you need something quick for your kids, you can do that very quickly.
And cool. Can you fling it to your Apple TV?
Yes, you can.
Very
with AirPlay,
cool.
Yeah.
AirPlay. Nice. Love that.
Good. And you can't beat the price. It's free, right? Free
that's
download.
Right.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go check that out tonight. That's
Yeah.
Can you watch the newsroom on it? So I don't know if they do HBO Go. They got everything but HBO.
It doesn't dovetail with HBO yet, unless they're on one of the other services that I mentioned.
Got it. Well, it looks pretty cool, though. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, and at Dane Golden on Twitter.
Perfect. Well, people can find you there. We will find you again, I'm sure. And Tim, where can people find you?
At One Tim Street on Twitter. It's a great place. Follow me there. Send me a tweet and go, hey, I listen to Behind the Video, and be sure to use the hashtag Behind the Video.
Definitely
and
do
if,
that.
If you find a story that you think's interesting and we should talk about, tag it with Behind the Video, and we'll add it to the show notes and talk about it.
Absolutely. Definitely tag that there. And Alistair, Sarah in our chat room has a story on the Google Studios that we'll talk about next week. So I'll add that to the hashtag list right now. And you can watch us every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. The folks on the West Coast get up a little bit earlier, but I am always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in my afternoon. So do watch us there. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube, and everywhere else you can find this kind of stuff. We're there. So that'll do it for this edition of Behind the Video. We are a wrap.
Stories for this episode were compiled by producer Jason Perrier. Follow him on Twitter at JasonPerrier. Behind the Video is a production of Ape Digital Incorporated and the Independent Media Network, LLC. All rights reserved.